Hi, I'm Tessa Court, the CEO of Intelligence Bank. Welcome to Marketing Heroes, a podcast dedicated to our favorite marketers from around the world, hearing their stories, their views on the state of marketing, and their advice for professionals who aspire to transition from good to great. The podcast is presented by our very own Rob Weiss, VP of Marketing at Intelligence Bank.
Telstra is Australia's leading telecommunications and technology company, offering a full range of communication services and competing in all telecommunications markets. In their home market, they provide 18 million retail mobile services, and that's out of a population of 25 million, 5 million retail fixed voice services, and over 4 million retail fixed broadband services for an annual income of over 30 billion Australian dollars. Now, for our US audience, to appreciate Telstra's dominance, imagine if Verizon or AT&T doubled their customer base. Outside Australia, Telstra also employs more than 3,500 people, predominantly in Asia. And the person responsible for global marketing operations is James Clifton. Of the hundreds of marketers at Telstra, James is the guy responsible for the annual plan, budget management, MarTech, data, process and reporting. Now, just introducing a new bit of MarTech to an organization that size would give most people sleepless nights, but he's responsible for the entire marketing operation. Starting his career as a product analyst at HSBC, he then began his 12-year Telstra journey as a business analyst, then manager of big marketing, and then a series of GM of strategy and operations roles before assuming his current position as head of marketing operations in 2017. Marketing guru, Ben Simmons superfan, and Sydney Swans tragic, I am delighted to welcome James Clifton to the Marketing Heroes podcast. Hey James, how are you?
G'day Rob, I'm going very well and thank you for having me on this podcast.
It's our absolute pleasure. Now, you've been at Telstra for over 12 years. Can you tell us, why did you join?
I was actually working at HSBC before Telstra. I enjoyed my time there, but I thought my best chance for career growth was outside of HSBC. So I looked around and it was at the time when mobile banking was just being discussed and contactless payments and that whole world, which we were just starting to explore a little bit at HSBC. And Telstra was also just starting to explore it. And so I jumped across to work on a project around contactless payments. And really have been there ever since. That was 12 years ago. I've really enjoyed my time at Telstra and my career has grown since being there.
Fantastic. Now tell us some of your marketing highlights over those many years. Was it the Eloqua adoption, some of the events, or maybe even some of the campaigns?
Yeah, look, I've worked on amazing things at Telstra. I've been really lucky to do that. And you mentioned a couple of them. For me, it was actually a bit earlier in my career where I got a program of work up and running off the ground. And I think any time in a large organization to get a program of work that doesn't exist into the program of work is a good achievement. And so I'd noticed that there was a lot of salespeople coming to marketing asking for support on their bids, bid proposals, and making them a little bit more interesting. And so that was happening at the 11th hour when bids were due. And so I kind of thought, actually, there's a program of work here where we could be more proactive between marketing and sales and get that pipeline of bids and work. So we're not doing it at the 11th hour and doing it a lot earlier in the process. So that was a piece of work that I really enjoyed, working closely with sales and really being able to be at the forefront of sales closing deals. So I really enjoyed that. And that was probably one of the highlights. And more recently, absolutely, you mentioned Eloqua adoption. That's been a huge program of work for us over the last couple of years, and to move into a marketing automation world, that's been a real highlight as well.
Excellent. Now, James, what are your tips and tricks to successful marketing planning and budget allocations?
Yeah, look, marketing planning, everyone does it, right? So how do you do it well? I think one of the key things is you absolutely have to start with the business objectives? And I know it sounds obvious, but a lot of people don't. So what is the business trying to achieve? And once you know that, building a marketing plan off the back of that, so you know that you're not just doing marketing for the sake of marketing, you're trying to help the business achieve its objectives. That's the critical first step. And I think that, again, it's a bit of a cliche, but you don't need to do everything. So I talk a lot about fewer, bigger, better. What are the fewer things that you can do and do them bigger and do them better? So I'm a strong believer in that. And then, of course, reviewing those activities year on year and looking at return on investment to make the decisions in your planning on what worked. Something didn't work, that's okay, but you don't need to do it again. So really looking at performance of campaigns and programs and investing in where you're going to get the best ROI.
That's really interesting. And to extend on that, you're famous for demonstrating marketing value within a large organization, the contribution to revenue and the ROI of the efforts. Can you talk us through some of the tactics you use?
Yeah, look, you're right. At the end of the day, I am really passionate about showing the value of marketing. And I believe the best way to do this is to show how marketing contributes to the bottom line. So I'm very interested in lead funnel reporting. So how many quality leads is marketing generating? And the word quality there is really important because you can hand over any number of leads to sales as you want, but unless they're quality leads, and then the velocity of those leads. So are sales converting those leads will tell me whether they're quality leads or not. You know, you ask about a trick. For me, it's paying as much attention to the lead funnel report as possible. So conversion rates by campaign, by region even. So you understand, are marketing handing over quality leads to sales that are being converted and turning into sales?
And how do you determine or define that quality?
Yeah, so it's a great question. For me, I am looking at the conversion rate. So if sales are converting them to opportunities, then I'd say that marketing are handing over good quality leads. And then obviously if those opportunities convert to sales, for me that's you know, the best way to know that you're handing over quality leads.
Brilliant. How have you seen the marketing operations landscape change over those years at Telstra?
Yeah, look, I'm really passionate about this. I've been in marketing operations for close on 6 years now. And when I started, it was all spreadsheets and it was about just the plan and the budgets to that plan and tracking governance to that. And it's really important to note that those things haven't gone away. They're still there and they're still really important. But we've moved a lot from the art of marketing to the science of marketing, and that's where I've seen the biggest change in marketing operations. So marketing operations is now really, really critical in the forefront to be able to measure what I was talking about the return on investment. Marketing operations has to do that. Where are we investing our money? But of course, that whole world has changed dramatically now with marketing technology. So you still have to do all the same things, but we've now got marketing automation that helps marketers do their job. And we've got visualization tools that help us interpret the data and present the data and talk about the data to senior layers in the company. That technology is there to help us and to make our lives easier.
Now, James, how many direct reports do you have? And describe your management style and even your hiring approach for the benefit of those listening.
Yeah, so I've got about 20 people, give or take. We do get contractors to come in depending on projects. So there is, you know, mainly full-time employees in there, but it's about a team of 20. And, you know, there's a variety of things in there from data and reporting to building campaigns in tools, to budget management. That all sits in there. In terms of my management style, it's an interesting question to ask me. I hope my team would talk about me as being really an authentic manager. I place a big emphasis on authenticity. generally what you see with me is what you get. And I hope people would say the same. I'm open and I'm transparent. I believe that's the best way to manage a team at any time, to just be open to them. And they know that they can talk to me, and I'm always talking to them about what's going on. In terms of hiring, I'm really going for a connection and a feeling. So I will often bring in what I would call an expert with me, and they do all the hard technical questions, and trying to ensure that the candidate is able to do the job. But me personally, yeah, I'm looking for a connection. And honestly, I ask myself, could I work for this person? And if I'm willing to work for that person, then I think they're going to be a great person to add to the team. And that's what I'm looking for when I'm hiring.
That's a really interesting insight for our listeners. Thank you. Now, James, are you a Mac or a PC person? Let's get right down to it.
Yeah, look, I sit on the fence at home. I'm a solid Mac person. I've got the Apple ecosystem set up at home, but I still actually do enjoy the PC for work and the powers that it brings. So best of both worlds, I think.
Which work software couldn't you live without?
Yeah, it's kind of it's funny at work. And maybe it's the company I'm in, but it's probably PowerPoint, whether it should be or not. It sort of is. It's a powerful tool for communicating effectively. Sadly, mastering how to do a good PowerPoint presentation is quite important. So I think PowerPoint is a great tool to be able to communicate with people, and so I probably couldn't live without that. But as I mentioned earlier as well, I'm a big fan of data visualization tools now. And it's, for me, I use those tools and take the outputs of those and put them in PowerPoints, because I think they have some great insights and show the data in a way that other people can interpret easily.
Now, are you a Sunday preparer, or do you wake early on a Monday to plan out your day and your week?
Yeah, this one's really easy for me. I'm a huge Sunday preparer, 100%. I think I need to be, because I don't wake up early on Monday, so it's probably by default. But no, I don't mind preparing on a Sunday. I feel like I'm playing catch up all week if I don't do that as well. So a little bit by default, but I do enjoy a bit of prep on Sundays.
Telstra, which tools do you use for collaboration and for managing projects?
Yeah, look, I think this is a really important question, and one that a lot of organisations don't quite have right yet. I feel like we use too many, and every person seems to have their favorite and their preference, and we use them all, and they all have their own benefits. So I personally don't have an opinion on one. So my opinion is quite clear. Choose one, train everyone on it. And I think that's really important, because I think part of my feeling on the matter is I haven't been trained in depth on one, and I'd love to be. I'd love to know how to use it well for my team and for collaboration across teams. So choose one, train everyone, and stick to it and maximize the benefits.
That's great advice. Now, how do you keep abreast of the latest trends and tactics for your own personal development?
Yeah, I've actually, I'm not a big reader, and I probably should be more of a reader. I've actually started watching a lot of YouTube videos. I find video consumption quite easy and helpful. So probably the last only year, maybe a bit longer, I've turned to YouTube because everything's on there. If you want to know something, watching someone talk about it and learn about it, that's been really helpful for me. I've started listening to a few more podcasts as well. So I think that that helps, videos and podcasts. But I mean, for me as well, I think the environment that Salesforce have created with Trailhead and going on there, probably one of the best things I've done to just get in there and test and learn and get better at it. So, you know, if more companies were doing that, I think that would be fantastic.
So apart from all the wonderful things that Telstra do, which other organizations inspire you with their marketing?
Yeah, look, so I am in B2B marketing, but I'm a bit of a sucker for good emotive songs in TV ads. That will get me every time. It's quite probably a little bit embarrassing, really. But yeah, no, a good emotive song. I think McDonald's used a cover version of Everywhere in an ad last year. And I know it's McDonald's, but yeah, I don't know. It made me feel a connection. And look, the Qantas ad, which featured the song Feels Like Home, I thought was awesome and really clever of them to focus on reuniting people by bringing them home, which is their core business, but tapping into that emotional side of what Qantas was doing really, really resonated with me. In the B2B landscape, I think we have a fair way to go. I think we can connect on that emotional level, but I don't know many organizations that do it well. I won't name names, but companies who understand the customer journey and how the customer feels and change their actions based on a customer response, they're the ones that inspire me.
Now, James, what advice would you give a marketer who aspires to a senior role such as yours?
Yeah, and yeah, I love this question. I think who you work for in your career is really important. And you may not feel like this is something you can control, but you can. I think you can. If you have a manager and you don't feel like you're getting the support or they're championing you, then go find a mentor. Go find someone who supports you and believes in you. Or it might be controversial, but if you're not getting that connection with your manager, then look for another job. I think it's really important in your early years in your career to have someone who champions you. It's critical to find someone who believes in you, someone who will help you, someone in their corner backing them.
Fantastic. Well, James, on behalf of all the team at Intelligence Bank, it was an absolute thrill to chat with you and to learn more about your experience and your advice for other marketers as part of the Marketing Heroes podcast. And we wish you every success in the future.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for having me. It was an absolute pleasure.
And as always, for more information on our great marketing operations platform, please visit intelligencebank.com.